What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Stacking Slabs. This is your hobby content alternative. I'm your host, Brett McGrath. I love sports cards. I really enjoy having collector conversations, and this one is a long time coming. I talked to my man, Chris, at Sea Dice Cards about what it's like collecting a player and becoming the best collector of that player in the entire galaxy. Now, Chris is very humble and he says he's not the best, but man, from my point of view and seeing his cards on a regular basis, I think he is the most dominant Joe Flacco collector in the universe. I wanted to talk with him about how he collects his team, the passion behind it, and then how this Flacco thing really got going. Of course, I'm especially interested in it now that Joe Flacco is a quarterback on my team, the Indianapolis Colts. If you like what I'm doing over here, go subscribe to the Patreon. Any level, whatever you want, you're going to get tons of content from me. It's the best way to show your support for the Stacking Slabs podcast. And while you're at it, tell a damn friend, sit back, relax, enjoy another collector conversation for you. All right, I am excited to have this chat. I have been on Instagram back and forth with today's guest a lot. We are going to be talking about building the best collection of a semi-popular player in the world. I think just in watching our today's guest build out his Joe Flacco PC, I have not seen a better one. And so I think there's a lot of passion that comes from his page. So excited to bring on Chris. You might know him on IG as Sea Dice Cards. We're just going to talk about Flacco. We're going to talk about like focusing in on building out a player PC. But without further ado, Chris, welcome, man. How are you?
I'm great, man. Thanks for having me on. Like, I think we tried to do this as I was building the collection, like the Flacco PC. And I was like, man, I got some really crazy Flaccos coming. Like, let's do it after. And then time flies. So we're here now. And you got the your wacko for Flacco now, having him in Indy. So let's go down the rabbit hole.
Let's start with, obviously, I think your connection and you're a Matt. I'm just in getting to know you and having the audience get to know you. You're a massive Baltimore Ravens fan. And I know like there's been some disappointment, but I'm not sure, like if I look at all NFL teams over the last like decade or so, I'm not sure there's been a team that's been better run and more consistent than the Baltimore Ravens. So I don't know. Talk about like how you feel about the Ravens and like your fandom, where it comes from, any of that stuff to open it up.
Yeah, I mean, I've been going to games my whole life. We've been lucky enough to have season tickets, same seats in the same stadium since the beginning. So I've seen it all, man. I've seen when we had no quarterback and it was just the defense. The defense came out and it was just star after star. And we were like, when are we going to get this quarterback? But I mean, it's so hard to win in the NFL. You know, we're in it every year. But I mean, I was looking at, in prep for this, I was like, man, how many quarterbacks have actually won that are still playing? It's five. It's Flacco. It's Rodgers. It's Stafford. It's Mahomes. And I think there's one other. So there's five quarterbacks that are playing right now. And Flacco is a backup. So, like, there's not that many different teams that have won recently besides Mahomes and Brady. And now we're in the Mahomes era, so you got to beat him to be the best. And we had our chance this year, man. I was at the game. That was tough. I mean, they just came out with a game plan that was to just, like, slow us down, just, you know, pick us apart. And they had a good game plan. I mean, there's a reason they won as well. Like, they just got real hot, got locked in, but – this was like a real chance for us. So, I mean, we're in it every year. That consistency you were talking about, I mean, we have coaching stability. We've had the Flacco stability. We've had the, you know, now the Lamar stability with a two-time MVP. So stability is good. The defense is still a staple. But now, like, we have this high-powered offense that's fun to watch. Probably the most exciting quarterback in the NFL with Mahomes. But, I mean, that's – I would say consistency is that big thing. But the fandom is just going to the games. I mean, if you go to these games – and you've seen Ed Reed, Suggs, Nada, and then Ray come out of the tunnel, like, you want to run through a wall. So, like, it's hard to not be a fan, like a deep fan, after seeing that, you know, so many times. So that's really where it comes from.
We're going to talk about some of your players that you collect outside of Flacco before we get into Flacco. But I got to ask you about, like, the Derrick Henry news. I think everybody around the NFL fans analysts, everything. That had been like a rumor that was maybe been trying to happen last season, and now it's happened. And I know he's got a little tread on the tire, but I mean, we've all seen Derrick Henry play football, and that guy's still got a lot of gas left in the tank. And I don't know, just it seems like out of all the free agent acquisitions and where teams are at and where they want to go, I'm not sure there's been a better fit in terms of watching Derrick Henry go to Baltimore just with Lamar Jackson and that pairing. And then you guys finally got, you know, some receivers too. So what was going, like, were you expecting Henry? Like, what do you expect out of Henry? Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I feel like it wasn't as big of a surprise. And it's almost like, all right, he's going to be a piece. And I think he's coming in knowing he's going to be a big piece because we needed him in the playoffs. I think we tried to get him. They pretty much said we would have gotten him if the owner didn't block it. Like, they didn't really get anything out of that. So I don't know. That might have been just an ego thing. But he will get the ball. I mean, we had so many injuries. Dobbins went out again. You know, we had that young rookie that just was kind of coming on strong. And then he got hurt. I mean, a pretty vicious injury. So we have Justice Hill as kind of like the switch up back. But, I mean, he's going to be the one that's in every play, you know, and then bring in Justice Hill when we need to. But he's still got to fit the offense. I mean, the offense, Lamar is passing, but he's also running. The offense was a lot different this year than Greg Roman. And we're going to see if Greg Roman can do it again. But the other Harbaugh brother out with the Chargers. But, I mean, I like where the offense is now. So it should help. But, I mean, listen, we got to the championship game. Like, it's just about getting over the edge now. But you're not promised to get back there. And I think everybody knows that. But Lamar's hungry, man. If you don't watch Lamar, like, the dude just wants to win. He does not care about the stats. The stats just come along with it. The guy just wants to win. And it is – he wants that championship. So it's – you know, we're at that 12-year mark where the Ravens are due. 12-year. So we'll see what happens.
So jumping into your cards and jumping into obviously the Ravens have had a cast of characters that are – as a team collector, I'm sure are fun. I am always fascinated when I talk to team collectors. I know, like, I look at your page, I'm like, this guy's like the best Flacco collector ever. Like, I think it's undisputed. But then you also collect like Ravens of old, and you've got a whole bunch of Ravens that when I just scan through your page, I'm like, man, the Ravens have been good for a while. Look at all these guys. How do you kind of shrink the sea and like focus in on, outside of Flacco, take him out of this equation, but like, how do you curate your collection in terms of like what Ravens, what types of cards, like what's your approach?
Yeah, I've been, even with this free agency, I am kind of going even tighter into it. Patrick Queen, he's gone. I had two cards of his. I had a rookie mosaic 101, and I have his gold to 10 mosaic. And I'm like, he's not an immortal. I've talked about this before where I just want the Super Bowl teams. I got two Super Bowl squads with great cards. I got the 90s, and then I got the 2000s, 2000s to 2012 when it was. And there's Hall of Famers in all those cards. So, you know, I'm doing Chris McAllister right now, who was our first round pick. He was a big part of our first Super Bowl team. I'm doing the Ruby set, which has Michael McCrary. It has Peter Boulware, who was out of Florida State, our first round pick. I mean, if he didn't get injured, he was a monster. And he is in like some of the coolest sets. He's in all the PMGs, 97, 98. And 99. So those cards are just so hard to find, man. So like the chase right now is really to try to get into those cards that are numbered to 50, but they might be like three on the pop report. And it's like, where are these cards? So just one at a time, like trying to get those cards and focusing in on the greats of the Ravens, because it's so easy to pick up. Like I have a small PC of the non-great, the greats that are non-Super Bowl winners, like Steve Smith. He's got a place in the PC. Steve McNair, he's got a place in the PC. Derek Mason, he's got a place in the PC. So those kind of guys that aren't Super Bowl winners, it's very slim. Like they've got to be like great players that came to us. Anquan Boldin, he got the Super Bowl championship, but I'll still collect his stuff that's in Arizona just because he was such a big part of our team. So that's kind of where I have two Lamar cards. You know, I'm just trying to, if he gets the Super Bowl, I'm all in, you know, but it's so hard. Like, when I'm looking at these Flacco prices, when I can get all 100 of these for the price of maybe one really good rookie. So it's like that dollar game as well, with also the meaning and the nostalgia of those guys that I watched coming out of the tunnel for, you know, 15 years or 20 years in Ray's instance. You know what I mean?
So maybe I think this is good for listeners because it's so easy to get caught up in the excitement of your team starting a season. You've got a two-time MVP, one of the best players in the league. It's so easy to get caught up in the paying the $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 for cards of a guy like Lamar Jackson, who's one of the best players, and you appreciate him. But you've got like a measuring stick where it's like, well, he hasn't won a Super Bowl yet. But like, how do you stay true to that? How do you stay true to like, I'm not going to pay these crazy prices, even though I really like this guy, and I'm going to go, you know, collect, you know, old Priest Holmes or Jamal Lewis cards instead. Like, how do you like manage that?
Those 90s cards too, or the early 2000s cards are so cool. Like that's like, they're cooler cards than a Prism SP auto. Like, and then you start comparing it. You're looking at a Lamar rookie Prism that is going to be more than a Ruby's Ray Lewis that I can't even find. And there's like a bunch of the Lamars up there. So it's like, I could go spend more for Lamar card that doesn't have the history. He's got two MVPs. He's going to be a great player overall. Will he get the Super Bowl? And will that, like that, the prices don't make sense. So let me pick up the Rubies while everyone else is picking up these crazy Lamars. And I'll get the Lamars one day because there's plenty of them, you know? And we know where they are. We literally don't know where these 90s Rubies, PNGs of these cards are. It's I have the list, Brett, and I start looking every day and it's like, they're not anywhere to be found. So you see them, you got to grab them.
So with maybe like, okay, so I'm scanning your page right now. and I'm looking at like this card, like I'm self-proclaimed Prism simp. And I see this like 2012 Ed Reed Gold Prism PSA 10, just first year Prism, like just this card's like for me in terms of like Ed Reed being one of the best defensive players, one of the best players I've ever seen. Like it's such a cool card. I don't know. It's like, how do you in your mind and in your, and I don't know what you paid for it. And I'm not going to ask what you paid for it, but like, how do you justify being like, all right, I need this card of Ed Reed, even though it's in a modern set, it's still representing one of the best Ravens of all time. Like, how do you make those decisions?
Specifically with Ed Reed, his collecting him is tough. He doesn't have a ton of cards. Like he has a lot of a newer, flawless stuff like that. Not a lot of the, like that's all after post-playing years, right? But when you look at his rookie cards, he's got the Black Tops Chrome. He's got a couple of nice Bowman Chromes, some SPs with some autos, but he doesn't have like a ton of cards. So like my collection for Ed is like pretty clean. I think that's one of Ed Reed's best cards. And I know that one specifically grade-wise is a pop one, but I know where I think one other one is, and it's like the biggest Ed Reed collector's collection. I think it's Raw. Like he just doesn't care about her. He's a true collector. Like I bought this one because it's the only one I know where it was, you know, but I think it's one of Ed Reed's best cards. So like that was, and I'm trying to finish up the 2012 set. I've got Joe, I've got Ray, I've got Suggs, and I've got now Ed Reed. So I think I just need Torrey Smith, which I've never seen one. Another good ghost. So
I love it. Okay. Moving over to the main topic, which is Joe Flacco. I have never met anybody who appreciates Joe Flacco as much as you. And not only that, the amount of time, energy, and resources you put into building out your collection. When was the moment where you were like, I'm going to get serious about just like building out a one of a kind Flacco collection?
Yeah. In the prep for this, and you asked me that, I didn't know when I started collecting them. I really had no clue. So I went back on, you know, Google Photos, typed in Joe Flacco just to see like what the first card, because it just automatically put stuff in there. And the first card I bought of Joe Flacco was May of 2021. And it was one of like two Flacco cards I bought that year. So 2020, when I got back into this in 2020, early 2020, I felt like I was early on the boom type thing. And it was just a Bowman Chrome refractor, probably $20. The next card I think was like a $5 2013 Select Hot Stars that was number 25. It was like $5. Kept those. So then I looked at 2022 and I bought like maybe like 10 cards. And then I started like, I think I got my first 101. And then I was like, wow, no one else is collecting Joe. Like I see a couple Joe Flacco cards here and there, but like it's a lane for a Super Bowl MVP, like a lot of nostalgia. I've seen pretty much every snap of his and no one's collecting them. So then I start like, I got my first NTRPA for like, no joke, like $75. And I was like, it was so funny when I used to listen to Card Talk, like back in the early days, they actually called out that card. It was on eBay for $125. And I was like, I actually just bought that card from the guy I knew who had it. And he gave me a deal for like $75. So I started collecting. I think I bought like 10 cards in 2022. And then 2023 is when it just started being 101, 101, 101. And I hit the 2013 Black Select 101. And I was like, and you're a 2013 Select guy. So I got that and I was like, all right, I just need to find every card. It got super serious when you actually picked up the Andrew Luck card. I think I told you this. You pick up the Andrew Luck 2014 Black. And I was like, I got to find this card of Joe. So I'm just like in, at night, like looking through Facebook, doing deep dive search, you know, different keywords, Joe Flacco Prism. It took me like maybe three nights and I felt like I just like hit the lottery. And I found a picture of a guy from 2015 that had posted the 2013 and the 2014 in the same picture. And this guy's like, I can't believe I got both of these cards the same day. So I finally like messaged this guy. So I'm the best Joe Flacco collector on Instagram. Mm. He is the best Joe Flacco collector in the world. He has 2,500 Joe Flacco cards, every single autograph. He had the majority of what I have in my, like the best cards in my collection are from him. Really good friends with him now. We chat regularly and I don't know how I got them from him. I just like gave him my heart on why I wanted just the 2014. I didn't want anything else. I just like, let me just get that. I'll be happy. He offered me the 13 and then we did one other deal. We've done two deals for the 14 alone and then the 13 with the 15, the other 15, the 17, and the whole gold prism run. So I don't know why he let me get those, but he knows where they are. You know, he knows they went to a good spot and I have some dupes that I plan on helping him out with now. So, but yeah, that's kind of when it started and it just went crazy.
The one thing that we don't talk about enough, I think, is we look at, like you referenced it. It's like, we look at Instagram and it's like, to me, sometimes I get caught up in being like, this is the entirety of the hobby when like in all actuality, it's just like a small sliver. So I don't know, like, you had your mind made up. You're like, I got to find these cards. And you ended up like going through, you know, Facebook avenues and you ended up finding them and not only finding them, being able to make a deal. One thing you said, you like aren't sure how you got them, but there had to have been something in like your conversation where like the biggest Flacco collector, not on Instagram in the world, like realize like, okay, you're like a true fan and you're not going to just because like Flacco's like, you know, having a hell of a season with the Browns, you're not going to try to flip it or whatever. I don't know if the timing lines up, but I don't know, like that, those conversations, I think those are important. And like, maybe like finding the common ground and building the trust, maybe like, I'm sure you still talk with this collector today, but maybe talk about the importance of that and like not making the hobby so transactional when it is just comes off so transactional sometimes.
My messages were like this long and his replies were like that, you know, like that's kind of how it was. Like I was pouring my heart out into it. Like, I really want this card. Here's why and everything. And I didn't know how to go about it because I wasn't really buying 101s a lot and like knowing what they meant. And this wasn't an expensive card. You know, it's Flacco. This was even before, like this was in 2023. So it was before he was even, wasn't even on a roster, Brett. So it was just me collecting him. So I kind of just kept in touch with him and I don't know. I think maybe once I got the first card that he was like willing to let go of the one, I think he was like, all right, this guy, like, and I was sharing pictures of my page and what I was collecting. So I think it just resonated, you know, just asked other people that had picked up like one of one really tough cards, like, how did you do it? And most of them just said like, hey, like if you're going to get it, it's because he wants to sell it to you. And if he wants to sell it to you, it's because he knows that you want the card and that you don't want to just sell it. So yeah, I think that rings true.
A lot of how you talk about collecting Flacco resonates with me collecting Luck, where it's like, yeah, there are people out there that do it, but it's not like the most in vogue or popular thing. And it feels at times like you're on an island and you would pay, you know, probably higher than whoever has the card would imagine. You're just like waiting for those cards to appear. That like zone of like really appreciating a player probably more than anyone else, being able to buy their cards, not at like Lamar Jackson prices, and then being able to like accumulate these cards over time. For me, it's made me like even more hungrier and made me even want to pour even more energy into my luck collection. I don't know if like, is that something that happens with you with Flacco? Like when you get on a roll, it's like you grab one of one that you're after. Now you're on another one and you're like, don't feel like you're breaking the bank, but you're getting like his best cards at a rate that just makes you want to do it even more. Is that something that you experience in your Flacco collecting?
Yeah. And just like you with the luck, I think it's the quality over the quantity, because I'm never going to have 2,500 cards or every single print plate. The guy was such a collector that he still is, but he's just not actively buying it. He wanted me to have all the print plates too. So he made me basically buy like the three print plates for each prism. Like they belong with that card. Like we can't split these up. And I was like, all right. So I have them all, which is really cool. But yeah, it's that, you know, you want the best of that player, and like your luck and my Flacco PC, like they line up perfectly, because with 2012 was the first year. So everything 2012 through with the gold runs and a lot of those cards are so similar. So like I said, that 2014 really, like, I didn't have any interest in Prism Black Joe Flacco's until I saw that luck. And I was like, I got to that. So it's true. Like, yeah, that's where it started.
I think it's so fun. It's like we use the word influence like a negative term in the hobby, but I don't know, these collecting circles we all run in, we gain inspiration from others and just how we want to build and form our collection, which I think is a lot of fun. Maybe talk about like posting your cards, because if someone were to ask me like how I think about you and your collection, like Flacco's the first one that comes to mind. Like you're the Flacco guy, because the volume of insane Flacco cards that you have is out of control. Maybe talk about like, and you post them, like you had the gold prism run, you posted it. And so like, maybe what, obviously, like, I think you enjoy doing that and telling the story behind it, but maybe talk a little bit about posting your cards and just like the benefits of it.
I mean, for posting Flacco, it doesn't do much because no one has them. I mean, I'm getting some crazy messages like, hey, like these Flacco cards are just coming back from PSA from people that picked them up. And it's like, hey, I just need like $100 for it or something. And I'm like, gosh, these were $2 cards on CompC. And just because it's in a PSA slab, it's like, So I've just like, even now that some cards are coming on market because of people bought them to grade them or move them, I'm like, 10 or under, you know, I'm only going to go for cards that are 10 and under. And it's not every card, you know, because there's a lot of like certifieds and limiteds and stuff. I don't know, just like cards that don't really appeal to me. You know, even the exquisite cards are, a lot of them are game use, not game worn or game used. So it's just like I sold some of them and I'm just holding the best of the best now. So, it's even during the run, it was kind of hard to sell. Like I put some gold prisms up that I had like four copies of the five of the 10. Like people just wanted the rookies. You could tell who was buying these cards. It was a lot more like the flippers and stuff. So posting cards for Flacco, it hasn't helped, but like the total Ravens posting has really helped. Cause like I've had some crazy Jamal Lewis cards just kind of pop up in my DMs, like a credentials to 25 rookie of his, like really affordable, that like the next closest one on eBay is like 10X that. So like the overall Ravens collecting has helped because of it, but not so much Flacco, unfortunately.
Did anything, like, I want to hear this from you just in terms of when Flacco got signed from the Browns. And so he was in like, you know, one of your favorite players you collect deeply was like crossed enemy lines, was on kind of a divisional foe, had a ton of success. Maybe like talk about how you felt watching all of that unfold, like what was going on in your head as a fan, one. And then number two, I would imagine like maybe some interesting things happened just in terms of the way you went and pursued Flacco on the open market, like a guy that was like basically irrelevant all of a sudden became like super irrelevant and like the talk of the league. I'm curious on that, like fandom and collector, like what was Joe's last year like for you on both those ends?
I mean, everyone wanted them to win. I think the Baltimore Sun wrote about it. Like everybody wanted Flacco to win. We didn't really want to play him though. So it was good that it didn't work out that way. Not like we thought that we would lose type of thing. It's like, you just don't want that, you know? I guess like the same thing with like Luck and Peyton, like you want Peyton to do well, but you don't really want to play him type thing.
Yes.
So I don't know. Like, it was good. Like, I think I was just like 100% on board with it. And I knew like the collecting part of it was probably going to end at that point. So, I mean, I actually turned to selling some stuff. So I never thought I'd sell a Flacco. I sold some stuff that were just like sitting in maybe a Com C pile, like the first card I bought for $20. Like, I listed it, I think, for 100. Pretty much everything went up 10x, 15x, 8 to 15x. So, I mean, I bought and graded 3 raw NTRPAs from 2008, and I've 10'd all of them. So I had all 3 of the 10s on the pop report. So I had 4 of them. So I had 1 BGS9. So I listed them, and I listed them for like 1500. I sold one that I bought for $75 for $1,000. I sold the other one for 900. And they're not even game used, but it's NTRPA. I'm like, so I kept the best one. Actually, I have 2. I sold 2 of them. But other cards that I bought for, you know, $8, I sold for like 115, 120. So I literally in those 2 weeks I had like 109 cards total. I got down to like 98, and I funded my entire Flacco PC that I had bought with just those sales. So my Flacco PC is essentially free from that little run, which it didn't feel good selling Flaccos, but it's like, these are all dupes. My group chat's kind of like, man, you're never going to have opportunity to actually do this again, because he's probably not going to play much in it. And that's fine. So I took the only opportunity that I had. I wasn't, you know, pumping the market. I just got lucky that I was collecting my guy and got the opportunity to actually have like that 2021 boom where I was in 2017, like
the Flacco bubble.
I have no shame that I have like almost a free Flacco PC from his little 2 month run, you know, and you see the cards to have those at pretty much nothing because of that run is wild.
Yeah. I hope we don't see much of Flacco in Indy, but it's, I will say, we were talking before we hit record, it's nice to have a big arm, because I think that's what we were missing with Richardson going down last year. So one thing that caught my
attention. And I said, Amari Cooper, we'll miss him.
yes, certainly. One of the things that caught my attention about him, and I don't know, like, is this Joe Flacco? Is this kind of what he's like? He was being interviewed about, like, before he saw all these, like, free agents go off the board before, like, you know, the Colts, you know, signed him. And he was just like, really? Like, these guys before me? Like, I liked him even more. I'd never really seen that, where it was like this quiet, it was like maybe a little vocal confidence where it's like, dude, like, look, he watched me play last year. Like, these guys are going before me. Is that like, I had never got the impression that he was kind of like that. He was always to me like a very quiet guy who just kind of like got the job done. But maybe as he's grown older, is that kind of like how he operates in terms of like confidence in himself? Like, talk a little bit about that.
Well, and I don't love to bring it up, but he said he was elite, you know, when they asked him. So like, he's always had that like little bit of like, he's quiet, but he'll say a little thing here and there. I mean, he's been playing since 08. He's been in the league. I mean, I felt bad for him. The guy had a different offensive coordinator like his first 5 or 6 years in the league. And like, he just kept rolling. You know, we were always in the playoffs. I mean, he was going up against Peyton, Brady, all these guys. And his run, he went through Luck, Peyton, Brady, Kaepernick. Like, it was a run, you know? So, I mean, I think he just has that little bit like, you know, he's got the best job in the NFL being a backup quarterback now, you know?
Dude, and yeah, he kind of did the Kirk Cousins thing before Kirk Cousins, just like grabbing the contract. And when it was up, it's like, yeah, you're going to sign me to a long-term deal after we just won a Super Bowl. I call Cousins kind of like the on the Mount Rushmore, the free agency deal now. But I feel like Flacco was the one who's kind of led the charge before kind of the contracts got out of control.
Yeah, Kirk's just done it like 4 times to Flacco's 1. So,
yeah,
you know, but Super Bowls count, you know, and it's always like you look at the 5 that are still playing that have a Super Bowl. And then you got the guys like, you know, Matt Ryan, who he came in with, that just couldn't get it, you know, so he'll have that forever, which is why he's like, he's the top 2 of my PC. I have Ray Lewis and I have Flacco. So with those 2 at the top, it's like Super Bowl MVP, Super Bowl MVP. I got the 2 pillars, and then kind of everything else builds off that with the Super Bowls.
That's awesome. Before I let you get out of here, I got to talk cards. Like, I think anyone can scan your page and see some cool cards, Flacco and beyond, but maybe from your end, like, what are your favorite, what are kind of a few of your favorite cards in your collection and why?
Yeah, I mean, some of my newer cards, like the, I think, the, so this one is the 2011 Flacco Superfractor. This card was from the Super Collector as well. And it's just, 2011 just had something. 2011 Finest. The designs, I don't know, they're just like really, really, really good. And he's freaking diving. Like, he's diving across. This is one of the better Superfractor years, I think. That's one of them. I have two of his 2008 Topps Chrome Superfractors. Now, for the rookies, they were gold, and they were number to 10. So I've got two of them in PSA 9 right now. And the 101, the true 101 from this year, was sold maybe like a year before I started collecting them on PWCC. So that's one I'm tracking down. I'm tracking down the 2008 Bowman Chrome Super and the 2008 Topps Chrome Super, true 101s.
So what's the, okay, I know that the rookies there, the Supers, are out of 10 and you have two of them. What is the difference with the true? I didn't realize there was a
true one. So Drake has the Peyton, where it's the black background.
Oh, yes.
So the gold background. I think the golds look honestly a little bit nicer. Especially with the Ravens, because it's the black and gold and the purple and gold.
I didn't realize that they did that. For whatever reason, my mind told me that they didn't do it with rookies, but I guess they do. I'm learning something.
Yeah, so like the only ones I've seen, Chris Johnson, and I've seen Joe Flacco. Not sure who else I've seen, but that's when I was like, man, so it's just the rookies in 2008. I don't know if they did that in any other year, but just to kind of round it off, I'll end it with kind of a ghost card, and then just one of the best Ray Lewis cards on my PC is the 05 Super that I grabbed off ComC. The seller had like a ton of Ray Lewis cards, and I think he just hit 60% off on his whole page because it was like 2.5x on eBay. And I was like, when I got on ComC from Carlson Cards, Austin told me, like, set up, he was like, set up a ComC account. And I look on there, and this is the first card I looked at, and I was like, buy. So that one. And then this is an interesting card for Ed Reed, and this is a championship ticket that you just don't see many of. It's numbered to 50, but I've only seen like two of them before. And this came up on IG. I got a really good deal on it. And it's not the auto version, but the championship down at the bottom. It's just a sweet card. And actually, like, in this hologram in the back is on this side is M&T Bank Stadium. And you can actually see section 105, 107 where we sit, which is
pretty cool. Awesome.
So that's always been a pretty cool part of this one. But PSA 7, you just don't really see them. So for any Reed collectors, championship ticket, you can set up a safe search for that, since I have one now.
Dude, amazing stuff. Dude, I had so much fun learning a little bit more about just your Flacco PC, all the Ravens stuff. You can follow him at CDice Cards on IG for a whole slew of Ravens content and the best Flacco cards I've ever seen. Chris, I'm glad we could make this happen, man. We'll have to do it again.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Brett.
I've enjoyed talking with Chris for some time. His collection rules. I love his perspective, how he thinks about cards. I actually consulted with him on some cards I was going after we hit record, and he was super helpful. Go give CDice Cards a follow. You take care of yourself. Take care of others around you. If you want more content from me, join that Patreon, and we'll talk to you soon.